7th verses, and I'll also be reading St. Matthew, the 14th chapter, verses 30 and 31. The Bible reads in the 34th division of Psalms, beginning at verse 4. Very familiar Psalms to us this morning. And David says, I sought the Lord, and he heard me, and delivered me from all my fears. They looked into him and were lightened, and their faces were not ashamed. This poor man cried, and the Lord heard him and saved him out of all his troubles. The angel of the Lord encamped around them that fear him and delivered them. Say Matthew 14, 30 and 31. But when he saw the wind boisterous, he was afraid and beginning to sink. He cried, saying, Lord, save me. And immediately Jesus stretched forth his hand and called him and said unto him, O thou of little faith, wherefore didst thou doubt? Based on our thinking coming from the 34th division of Psalms, verse 6, this poor man cried, and the Lord heard him and saved him out of all his trouble. And then say Matthew 14 and 30. But when he saw the wind boisterous, he was afraid and began to sink. He cried, saying, Lord, save me. The basis of those verses, I'd like to speak from the thought of subject this morning. I'm so glad that he heard my cry. I'm so glad that he heard my cry. Then you would never, ever have a mind to call on him or to cry out to him. So you got to know him in order to believe and trust that if you need him, he is right there. And so we are glad this morning to know that we serve a God that is always there by our side. I'm so glad this morning that he heard my cry. And I'm sure that there are those of us in here this morning that have lived long enough that you have had to cry out to the Lord at some point or another. I believe this morning that even some of the unbelievers that don't consider themselves to be a believer or a Christian or a follower of Christ, but they've heard about who God is. And when trouble came in their lives, they found themselves calling on the name of the Lord. So I'm thankful this morning that God has blessed us and allowed us to gather here on this fourth Sunday, being blessed and favored by God. And we join our forces together in lifting and magnifying his holy name. Our God is a great God, and he is truly worthy to be praised. As I said earlier, as we finish off the revival season, I pray that we held on to the word, because many times, even this morning, after the benediction is over, I pray that the word, the Spirit of God, will continue to go with you. And, you know, sometimes, you know how it is when you relive your yesterday or you relive that hour or so that you have just passed, you begin to think about, even in conversation with our friends and family, there are times when we depart from them. And after we depart from them, we begin to think about that conversation that we've had. And sometimes we have, I find ourselves saying, I wish that I would have thought about this. Or I wish that I had thought about that, if I could have shared that with them. Or I'm so glad to have had an opportunity, as Reverend Johnson shared with us this morning, family is very important. And we ought to leave from our family members sometime, leave on a positive note in knowing that we are still yet family. We are working together. We are bound together. And we hear so many times today that you can choose your friends, but you cannot choose your family. But I'm so glad that God has blessed us, that as we become believers, that we are all a part of one great big family. Doesn't matter what your name is. Doesn't matter where you live. It doesn't matter what you got. We ought to remember that we are yet many members, but yet just one body in Christ. And so as we went to the revivals and as we heard the many sermons that we've heard, God's word was intended just for us. And we all need to see or should have gotten something out of the word. This morning, as I minister God's word unto you, there's something in it for all of us. If we would sort of listen carefully enough to detect it and to allow it to manifest itself within us. I believe if we listen carefully, there's something that will strike home. We know that it is our responsibility to work out our own soul salvation. Mama can't do it. Daddy can't do it. Preacher can't do it. Deacon can't do it. You got to do something for yourself. So as I take on the responsibility of working out my soul's salvation, I got to be reminded that God is God every day of the week. And I'm so glad that I'm able to declare that he is an unchanging God. My God is good every day of the week. So let us all say to God be the glory for the thing that he has done. I must commend our members for showing up. Up everywhere that we were invited this year, and for not only showing up, but coming with a spirit and representing themselves not only as the church, but as a believer and a witness to the word of God. We are thankful that God has blessed us to be where we are and even in the midst of us this morning. So many times we find that people will do whatever it is that they want to do. And, you know, sometimes we think that, well, it's going to be all right. And whosoever will, let him come. But that there comes a time that we must be concerned about others. Those members that we have that are sort of straddling and those members that have strayed. We need to sort of have a ministry within ourselves to reach out to them. Let them know that they're missed in the church house. Let them know that their presence need to be right here along with us. Because we can't do it all by ourselves. But when we join our forces together, then we're able to know that we are doing a work for kingdom building. God has blessed us. And in just a few days, we will be giving out candy and treats to our children for what we call Halloween. And then after Halloween, it's holiday time. If you go on through the stores, even now, you see candy on one aisle and Christmas decorations on the other aisle. The world has become so commercialized that we are so more concerned about dressing up the house and getting all of these gifts instead of dressing up our soul and our spirits and getting ready for the coming of the Lord. It's good to be able to give. It's good to even be able to receive, but we got to worry about our soul and our salvation. As we come to the holiday season, we realize that we are very close to the end of another year. So let us not take for granted that our here being and for the blessings we enjoy, whether we recognize it or not. There are those that even though we know that God woke you up this morning, there are those that got up and they didn't acknowledge God. There are those of us, some of us might have not acknowledged God when we got up, but we realize that there is a God somewhere. And isn't it good to be able to come to the house of God and to just give him thanks, to worship his holy name, to let him know that I'm yet still a witness, that I'm so glad to be alive. In the time in which we are living right now, we ought to be thankful that God gives us another day. This morning, as we focus on the time that we experience things in life, things that will cause us to cry out to God. Throughout history, believers have cried out to God in times of trouble and distress. And we must always remember that he is where our strength comes from. His promise to us is very clear. If we will read the 50th division of Psalms, the 15th verse says, call upon me in the day of trouble, and I will deliver thee. Isn't it good to know that even though you may have called him yesterday, today is a brand new day. You may not have had any troubles yesterday. And you might just want to call on God just to put things in the right perspective, just in case anything goes wrong. I want to stay in contact and have my connection with you. I want to make sure that everything is on point. Thou shalt glorify me is what the Lord God says. We cry out when trouble comes in distress. And we need help, we cry out to God. In an act of desperation, it shows our faith and our trust in God as well as his goodness and his compassion for us. There are times that we must admit that we need help and humble ourselves before the Lord our God. We unconditionally surrender to him in a plea for mercy, personal helplessness. But by faith, we know that there is nothing too hard for the Lord. There's some thing that comes in our life that to some it may not mean very much. And there's something that we consider to be little things, but little things have a tendency to keep on building up and building up until you, or before you realize it, it become a big thing. But I thank God that I serve a God that can handle my little things as well as my big things. I serve a God that is always there with a watchful eye that already knows the condition of what you're going through, but you have not because you ask not. And if you're going to ask God for something, you ought to first of all believe that whatever it is that you're asking, that God will do it because he is just that kind of God. But now the Bible declares that he will supply all of our needs, but not necessarily all of our wants. Sometimes, even as adult believers, we act like little children. We don't get what we want, we pout. We don't get what we want, we shun, and we don't give all of our all in all to the power of God. But God, I asked you to do this last week, and God, I hadn't got that check yet. Sometimes, don't worry about the money. All you need to worry about is that you open up your eyes and you are able to see another day. How many of us have ever had some day to where we were broke, but God still blessed us anyhow? We're still able to smile and have joy down in the depths of our heart. It's not always about money or material things. You got to learn how to just be thankful for God for who he is and for what he has done, not only for you. But when I see God bless Reverend Davis, then I'm just as excited as if he had blessed me. We can't have a selfish spirit. We got to learn how to have compassion one for another. We got to learn how to rejoice in the good that God does for somebody else. I wonder how many of us are willing to admit that there have been times that we have had to cry out to the Lord for help. See, there are some of us that we are so proud, we think that our testimony is, I did this and I thank God from whence I come and I got this and I got that. But everything that you got comes from the Lord. That job that you got, you're only able to get there because God gives you the strength. First of all, he wakes you up first, and then he allows you to be able to put your clothes on. Allows you to get to your destination safe from all hurt, harm, or danger. Then if you have to stand on your feet, I remember those times when you had to stand up 8 hours and 12 hours. But isn't it good to have a job where you can sit on your behind? Then some of them complain. You go out there and get you a real job. Not saying that your job is not real. But you got to look at it as being blessed. Stop complaining about the little things. Stop sweating God about the small things. But learn how to be thankful for the thing that God has blessed you to have. As long as you got health and strength, as long as you got a friend, as long as you got the Spirit of Christ within you, God will make a way somehow. Don't allow pride to make you be in a position where you are too mean or too stubborn to let somebody help you. There are those of us. We even go to the doctor, and the doctor tells us this, that, or the other. And we make up in our own mind what we going to take, what we not going to take. I don't care what the doctor say. I'm going to tell you, I done read this. I ain't messing with that mess. But now, when you went to the doctor, you went seeking help. But now, if you went to get help and you don't do what the doctor say do, then why do you want to sue the doctor when things don't work out in your favor? Now, I hear through the commercials, you know, medication will scare you to death. Supposed to be a help for you. But then when you began to look at the side effects, you got more things that might go wrong. Now there's a might in there. But you got more things that might go wrong than they're going to go right. So you're trying to fix one thing and you're messing up something else. If I take this, my liver gonna mess up. If I take this, my kidneys may go bad. So now I believe, and I have to admit, I'm not the doctor, but I know my body. And I don't care sometimes what the doctor say. Now, a lot of it I take. One of them, I went to the drugstore and got it. I hadn't even opened the bottle. Now, and I'm going to move along. But why would you prescribe something to a patient that already got a low white blood count, and you're going to give him something for his appetite, but that side effect says that it may lower your white blood count? I went back to the doctor. I say, doctor, I didn't take none of it. I'm not going to take any of it because you already know I got a low white blood count. Don't be no doctor's fool. There are times that you got to just trust that God is going to take care of you. And I know that there are others in here that they've had prescribed you some things that when you read all of the many different side effects, you decided that I'm better off if I leave that alone. You still here. You still kicking. Now you have to weigh out the differences. Because now there's some things that they prescribe, you better go ahead and take it. Whether you want to take it or not, you better take it. What I'm going to look like, I got high blood pressure with two pills, and I'm not going to take that medicine, but I eat pig feet. Oh, no, I'm going to take my blood pressure medication. It helped balance me out so I can eat what I want to eat. At least that's my mindset. I ate pig feet Sunday last Sunday. Then Kathy came through Tuesday, brought me some more pig feet. I ate them too. But I'm still kicking. Now, I went to the doctor this week. My blood pressure was good because I took both my pills every day. Even though God has blessed us to have doctors and nurses and all of those that are in the medical profession, and I thank God for all of you because you're very important to us, but we got to learn that we got to trust who God is and know that whenever we are down and out, you can always call on the Lord. Now, whenever you've ever been hospitalized, There are times when you begin to wonder, and all kind of thoughts go through your mind. You begin to realize that it's a reality, life and death. But what are you going to choose? I believe that you ought to choose life. And in choosing life, then you will find that the life that you have came from God. Now, as we look at the 34th division of Psalms, the Bible said that David said, I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. My soul shall make her boast in the Lord. The humble shall hear thereof and be glad. Oh, magnify the Lord with me and let us exalt his name together. A lot of times when we read the 34th division of Psalms, we read those three verses and we're satisfied. Magnify the Lord with me. Let us exalt his name together. But now, if you read a little farther, David says, I sought the Lord. So in other words, I was looking for God and he heard me and delivered me from all my fears. I don't know about you, and since I'm on this doctor thing this morning, when I go in and they get ready to give me a shot, I just close my eyes and say, in the name of Jesus. She said, it's going to be a little stick. In the name of Jesus. You got to get your mind on the right thing that will remove your fear. I don't know how you do it, but that's just how I do it. I know that if I call on Jesus in any situation, then everything is going to be all right. If they can't find the vein, in the name of Jesus, let them find it, because you ain't sicking me no more. And sometimes it seems like as soon as I call on Jesus, am I talking to anybody in here? He delivered me from all of my fears. They looked into him and were lightened, and their faces were not ashamed. I got to get up out of here. This poor man cried, and the Lord heard him and saved him out of all his troubles. David cried out to the Lord, and the Lord heard his humble cry. And the Bible declared that he saved him out of all of his troubles. The angel of the Lord encamped round about them that fear him and delivered them. So God has an angel watching over you. God has an angel that's been dispatched just for your consideration. Whatever it is that you're going through, it does not matter, because God realizes that there's no respect of persons when it comes to a need and a cry to the Lord. But David also says, if you jump up to verse 17, the righteous cry and the Lord hear it and delivered them out of all of their troubles. The Lord is nigh unto them that are of a broken heart, and saveth such as be of a contrite spirit. Many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivereth them out of them all. So it doesn't matter what your condition might be. Doesn't matter who you are or what you're going through. You got to believe that God will make a change in your life. David had to get a different attitude, realizing that if I serve the Lord my God, when trouble comes, all I got to do is call on Jesus. Anybody in here cried out to the Lord? Anybody know that when this poor man cried and the Lord heard him and saved him out of all his troubles? Now, just to help me out a little bit, I went to the Gospel of Matthew. And in the 14th chapter, the Bible declared that the Lord had just fed 5,000 people with two fish and five loaves of bread. Still had 12 baskets of leftovers. And after Jesus did this, the Bible declared that he immediately sent his disciples off into the boat so that he could go away and pray. Now, the Bible declared that we would look at our text. And straightway, Jesus constrained his disciples to go into the ship and go before him unto the other side while he sent the multitudes away. See, even though they thronged him, even though they were all around him, there come the time you got to get rid of everybody. There comes the time you got to sort of steal your secret place and go and talk to the Lord, just you and God. Anybody have those personal conversations with God? Shut the family out, cut the TV off, cut the music off, and just talk to God. Have a little talk with Jesus. He'll make everything all right. But now the Bible declared when he had sent the multitudes away, he went up into a mountain apart to pray. And when the evening was come, he was there all alone. I'm so glad that the Lord God showed us an example that there come a time when you got to pray to the power of God. And so I thank God for giving me a mind to pray this morning. I thank God that as they went out on the ship and they got out into the midst of the sea, the Bible declared that the wave began to toss them and the wind become contrary. And in the fourth watch of the night, which is about between three and 6 o'clock a.m., Jesus had sent them on away. And they were about 3 to 3.5 miles out at sea. But when the Lord God realized, because even though he was in the mountain, he was able to watch over the disciples out on the seashore. And as they were going across and the waves began to go, they began to get fearful. Because the wind had gotten contrary. Don't you know if you've ever been out in the storm? It's a bad thing to be in a storm on land. But imagine if you was in a storm on the sea. And all you were on was a little ship. I'm not talking about a cruise ship. Because even on those, they are real and rocky too. But one thing I thank God for is that God has his ever watching eye. And the Bible declared that when the disciples saw that they saw something walking out on the water. Look at the power of our God. He realized that my disciples need me. So he walked out on the water. And as he walked toward the ship, the Bible declared that they began to get fearful. First of all, they were scared because of the wind. They were scared because of the rain. They were scared because of the rocking of the ship. But all of a sudden, they see something walking out on the water. And the Bible declared that somebody said, it must be a spirit. And they weren't talking about the Holy Spirit, but they were talking about a ghost. It must be a ghost coming towards us. But now when I look here in the Word of God, it says that they got troubled in their spirit. And they cried out with fear. But straightway Jesus spake unto them. He said, be of good cheer. It is I. Be not afraid. Isn't it good to hear the voice of the Lord? They heard a familiar voice. Fear left them. And there was one of them by the name of Peter. Peter answered Jesus and he said, if it be thou, I want you to bid me to come unto thee on the water. And the Bible declared that he said, come. And when Peter was come down out of the ship, he walked on the water to go to Jesus. But when he saw the wind boisterous, he was afraid and began to sink. He cried, saying, Lord, save me. There come a time that you got to cry out to the Lord. Peter realized that I'm out here on the water and I'm walking and this is a miracle. But don't you know when you got faith in God? Everything would work out all right. But see, Peter took his mind off of who God was. You can't let nothing get between you and your love and your faith in God. If I said the Lord will make a way somehow, how many of you know that God will make a way? How many of you know him as a way maker? How many of you know that all you got to do is cry out to the Lord our God? For the Bible declared when Peter got afraid and Jesus let him know that all you got to do. For the Bible declared he immediately reached out his hand and grabbed Peter by the hand, pulled him back up on the ship, let him know that everything is all right. I am the Lord thy God. If you trust in me and have faith, everything is going to be all right. So I want to talk to somebody this morning that believe in the power of a loving God. They got the Lord on your mind. You got to keep your eyes straight on Jesus. Don't let the wind, don't let the rain, don't let Negroes, the Lord. But keep your eye on the prize. Know that God will do exactly what you need him to do. And there have been times in my life when I had to cry out to the power of a loving God. And I'm so glad he heard my cry. Is there anybody in the house had to cry out to God? And you know that God came to your rescue. And you can say, for God I'll live, and for God I'll die. For I was down, but I called on the name Jesus. And the Lord picked me back up. And everything is all right now. I'm so glad. So glad. So glad. He heard my cry. Whether it's in the morning, noonday, or midnight hour, God is always there. He never slumbers, nor does he sleep. The Lord will be right there. Trust him. Have faith in him. And don't allow nothing or nobody to make you doubt. Even though the wind was still boisterous, Peter remembered that this is the same God. The same God that even spoke the word and calmed the raging sea. So when I'm in despair, I've learned that all you got to do is cry out to the Lord. Is there anybody in here this morning that know that you had cried out, whether it was trouble, sickness, sadness, loneliness? Sometimes loneliness can make you feel like you don't have a friend in the world. But when you cry out to the power of God, God will come to your rescue. You ought to be like David this morning and say, I cried out. He heard my voice. And when he heard my voice, he immediately came to my rescue. Don't be too proud to cry out to God. Don't be ashamed. If you need help, look to the hills. That's where all of our help comes from. What a mighty God we serve this morning. Hallelujah to the name Jesus. When you look at this scenario, and they thought it was a spirit, but it wasn't nobody but Jesus. And you know, I don't believe that after Peter, there's never been another man that can say, I walked on the water. But because of his faith in God, when Jesus said, come, all he knew is that the Lord has called me, and I believe he's going to take care of me. And he immediately stepped out of the boat, and a miracle happened. He found himself walking on the water. But then when the winds got so boisterous, swayed him a little bit, his faith began to doubt. And how did Jesus know? Because he cried out, Lord, save me. But you know, the Lord didn't hold it against him. For the Bible declares he immediately stretched forth his hand and grabbed a hold of Peter. And made everything all right. So even though sometimes our faith may get a little weary, and we may not be as stable as we think that we are, don't never think that God still will not hear your cry. Trust in God and believe that everything will be all right. I'm so glad that he heard my cry. As we live, there are going to be some more days that we're going to have to cry out to the Lord. Most of the time, and I'm finished, our cry is not, Lord, save me. Our cry is, oh, Lord, have mercy on me. How many of you in here have ever made that statement? Oh, Lord, have mercy on me. He is a merciful God, and he will do what you need him to do. The same God that was with Peter then, over thousands of years ago, he is with us this morning. Because the good thing is that when we talk about the Spirit, when Jesus left, he said, I'm going to leave you something to comfort you in your time of distress, despair, sadness, sickness, or whatever it may be. The comforting Spirit of the Holy Spirit. And it embraces us and manifests itself within us and reminds us that he's not gone. He's still here. For I carry him within the depths of my heart. Hallelujah to the name Jesus. Oh, Lord, have mercy on us.